Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com.
The world is seemingly weirder by the minute. The lockdown has us thanking God for small mercies when the premier of our province, the premier for crying out loud, is releasing a video on how to make his cherry cheesecake. Have we all gone mad? I know my best buddy Annie Donato, the legendary cartoonist for Sun Media, has gone mad. He's a golfing fanatic, and only now is the province's opening up golf courses, which means Andy can finally get on his beloved Toronto Hunt Club. He loves golf so much that he bought not one, but two condos across the street, knocked down some walls, and produced one larger condo with a nice painting studio. And he's over 80 and he's doing this. Most men at 80 can't move a chair, let alone an entire house. And there he is anyhow. And he is still a tough competitor and pretty cheap with the gimmies when there are a few dollars on the line. My lawyer buddy Dan Brodsky will be pretty happy that marinas and sailing clubs are now open. And that there is in this, and if there is anything that Dan can do better than defend scumbags and lowlifes at sail, the man's a hell of a sailor. Hey, I hope your Victoria Day weekend went down well. Karen and I did our social distancing grandparent thing again, which pisses us both off now that it's been at least 10 weeks. But thank God again for small mercies. At least we can still do it. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Thank you, Mark. Of course, we would normally have Mark's wonderful little Moose Country Moment bumpers in and out of that piece, but we don't have them, Michael.
We're finding our way.
We're finding our way. I love it. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Michael Mooring, and next to him about... 36 kilometers or miles from him, actually, next to him, is Derek Brandeo at the Fan headquarters.
We're
downtown.
Social distancing.
You're social distancing.
That's right.
At its very best, right there, for sure. On the line with us is no stranger to the program. He's been on the show many times, although never, I'm sure, to talk about what happens during a pandemic. His name is Dr. Brent Patterson. He is research scientist, wildlife research and monitoring section of the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. And we wanted him on because everybody's claiming that wildlife is amok, especially in urban centers. My wife, by the way, claims that the grass is greener this spring than it's ever been before, and she says it's the pandemic. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, good morning, Angelo.
Good morning.
What you just said there actually might hit the nail on the head. I think it is possible that some wildlife have responded to us staying out of some of their homes and the parks and green spaces. But I think one of the big things that's going on here is that so many of us are home and we're spending so much more time at home and so much more time looking out our windows or wandering around our yards that we're noticing things that may have always been there, but that we just didn't really notice before. So I think a lot of the things that seem different and things that maybe seem more common, they might not be. It's just that we've been so busy for so many years that this is the first time we're really having a chance to soak it up and take a good look.
Well, how true is that comment? I mean, I even find myself seeing things. I know they were there before, but I said, was that there before? And all of a sudden, you recall back, and sure as hell, you know, the problem with that, of course, Brent, is that our normal lives, pre-pandemic, we're going 100 miles an hour every day. And, yep. And yeah, it's quite possible we've been overlooking things. However, when I hear stories like in Venice, for example, where they're seeing marine mammals for the first time in 100 years within the city canal limits. That's kind of, I mean, that one's hard to refute, is it not?
Well, for sure. And again, yeah. There's no doubt that there are some some animals that have really responded to our absence or, you know, our reduced use of some spaces. But I think it's just tough to know exactly how extensive that is. You know, some cases that's clearly happening, but in other cases where we think that's happening, I think it's more a fact that we're seeing things for the first time. So it's a little bit of both, you know, some of the news articles a couple of weeks ago talked about wild turkeys showing up in Montreal. You know, that's likely a new behavior, those quiet spots. I think waterfowl in a lot of parks, you know, that normally would be busy with people. The ducks and geese are taking over some areas even more than they may have before. And, I think there is a fairly long list of examples like that.
Are those turkeys, by the way, it's not the first time that we've heard about the turkey situation in Quebec. And I haven't asked anybody, so who better to ask than you? Are those turkeys a byproduct of our Ontario stocking program that took place years ago here?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know if the province of Quebec, undertook any stocking themselves. But, you know, we do know from what we've seen here in Ontario that the turkeys, can really expand and move. So it's certainly possible. But the Quebec government may have done some themselves that I'm not aware of.
Go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, I'm from the Maritimes originally, and turkeys are certainly, crossing over from Maine into New Brunswick and even into Nova Scotia, and that seems to be all natural.
They've really taken off, you know. I mean, it's incredible how far they've come from that very first release of wild turkeys in this province several years ago. It's incredible how well they've done. And, you know, what's really interesting, and I don't mean to get off topic here because I want to talk to you about other things that you're supposed to be talking to us about, but the wild turkey intrigues me because, you know, for as much as there are people out there who always have something negative to say about the hunting community, wild turkeys is probably a perfect example of how hunters manage wildlife. I mean, we had no turkeys here. They were brought in for the hunters, and look at them today. And they're being hunted every spring, as you know. I mean, people line up to go hunting. And look how well they're doing.
They're doing great.
They're doing fantastic, you know. So
I had it might be another example of being more tuned into what's going on my property, but I actually found a turkey nest around the end of April, 1st of May, and the hen, I'd see her out in the day feeding around the yard, and then she'd sort of go back into where I'd found the nest. She was sitting on 12 eggs in there. So for me, that basically stopped my turkey season because I had planned on, doing some calling in the mornings and hunting from here. But once I saw her there, I thought, I'm not gonna bother her with my ugly calls. Yeah. So took the season off.
How long will, what's the incubation period, Brent?
I think it's about 4 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that is cool. That would be great to see. To watch that whole process as it unfolds. It'd be fantastic.
It was incredibly well hidden. I'd cut some cedar, and she was right in the brush pile, and you couldn't see it until you were right on top of her.
Wow. Of course, one of the concerns that I think maybe the main predator for a lot of these wild turkeys would be coyotes. And the reason I bring it up, because I want a bit of a segue into my next piece here. We read in a CTV news article that surprisingly coyotes are one of those animals that have not been reported in greater numbers since the pandemic. And they were prior to. So how do you explain that one?
Well, I think in that sense, a coyote is similar to a raccoon in that they already were doing very well living around people and that they already occupied most of our urban areas. So, you know, as far as we can tell from research we've done here in Ontario and research others have done, you know, across North America, coyotes live in all major urban areas and throughout those areas. And, you know, occasionally we hear about a situation with, you know, pets or something where the coyote presents a problem. But most of the vast majority of those coyotes do a great job of staying under the radar. And so they live all around us, but we just don't know it. But I think for coyotes, you know, things really haven't changed too much. They might be a little more inclined to use some of these areas in the daytime. But for the most part, it's business as usual for coyotes in urban areas.
So once again, it's just one of those observations that maybe proves we're going stir crazy with this lockdown that we're going through because people are imagining all kinds of things. I read an interesting story this morning in the paper about a family of foxes in the beaches area in Toronto.
Yeah, I've been following that.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. And I understand that there's actually been a fence put around it, you know, has been erected around the den and keep trying to keep dogs, domestic dogs from, and apparently one of the pups or kits, I guess, they're, why are they called kits, by the way, Brent? If they're, well, they're canine, right?
Yeah, there's no answer to that. And if you go to pub trivia, you know, and sometimes a question will come up of what, you know, what young animals are called of different species. And I can tell you that kit is by no means the strangest name given to young animals. There's all sorts of weird ones. So the short answer is I have no idea.
But anyways, I guess domestic dogs, because that part of the boardwalk where this den is I'm assuming, anyway, I could be totally wrong, is an area where you can actually let your dog off its leash and run. And so consequently, this family of foxes has been harassed by all of these pet dogs, and to the point where this morning they reported that one of the pups or kits was actually killed by a pet dog. So, wow, just some strange stuff is going on, man. Strange stuff.
One other thing, too, that sort of the reverse of what we've been talking about so far is that... you know, when we're around animals a lot and they get used to our presence, a process called habituation can happen where, you know, as they get more and more exposure to people, some animals lose their fear of us. And a simple example of that are the squirrels and chipmunks here at my house that always used to be scary to me. And now that I've been working from home for over 2 months, I go outside. Not only do they not run away, but I basically have to shoo them away if I want to get at the bird feeders. So it's completely adopted to my behavior. And a more important example of that is happening in some zoos where some of the animals in the zoos that were used to seeing, you know, tons of visitors every day when the zoos were open, you know, were very used to people. But now since the outbreak and things being shut down, they're not seeing so many people. And some of these animals are reverting back to their wilder behavior and actually getting really scared and stressed out when their handlers come in to feed them. So this is actually presenting a bit of a problem in some places.
Wow, never even thought of that. That's another zoos. That's another area of impact. Now, this one is not my imagination. I hope you can verify. Rabbits in urban settings. I mean, in my place, at my house, and I'm in a very urban area, every single morning, not one, but at least three or four rabbits are on my property, and you can see them hopping around the lawns. What's up with that? Because I know for years I never saw a rabbit anywhere, even out in the wild.
Yeah. That's a strange one. And I think, you know, what I would encourage you to do there maybe is keep a journal over, you know, when this all ends. You should keep a journal for a few years there and just track the changes in your rabbit sightings. Because I think, you know, rabbits really fluctuate by, you know, pretty large orders of magnitude. And you know, certainly before all this began, there were certainly areas where you would see rabbits. You know, you drive through a neighborhood somewhere in Whitby or something, and you'd see rabbits out in people's yards. So I'm not sure how new a phenomenon it is. I mean, it's possible maybe that if coyote behavior shifted in the area or the fox behavior shifted somehow, that might affect the rabbits. But I suspect that might be more just a part of the natural fluctuation in rabbits that we see all over the place.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to see. I remember growing up as a kid, my dad used to go hunt rabbits, but they used to have to drive like out in the country areas to find them. And even then, you know, if he got one or two, that was like a huge weekend. And now, wow, like you wouldn't believe the number of rabbits in my neighborhood. It's crazy. Insanity.
Yeah, and I guess you're talking cottontail rabbits too, to be specific. Yeah. And so I live east of Lakefield. I'm right on the fringe where Cottontail Range sort of blends in with the southern edge of the Snowshoe Hare Range. And I see fewer snowshoe hares now than I used to, but I do see way more cottontails. I think I saw three the other evening as well, just really close to the house.
Are there things, are jackrabbits still around, those great big monsters?
Yeah, the European hares, the introduced European hares. I haven't seen one in a few years, to be honest, and I used to see a lot of them around the Peterborough area, but I'm sure they're somewhere. But no, it's been a while since I've seen one.
It's great how things are well, great. I mean, it's only great if it's a natural evolution and the changes are not because of things that we're doing. It's great to see nature that has been, you know, scarce coming back. It's very uplifting for me when I see things that, you know, for example, frogs, you know, where we've been talking for several years now about the frog population being almost non-existent anymore. It'd be great to see something like that coming back, because obviously we're doing something right. I think this pandemic, you know, as much as we want to say it has nothing to do with it, but I think the fact that we are not out there doing what we have been doing for so long now has got to have some beneficial impact on our environment.
For lack of a better word, maybe this increased awareness or increased closeness that more people are getting to the wildlife, you know, in their backyard, in their neighborhoods, you know, hopefully this will sort of increase the respect. And then maybe going forward, you know, more people will take on more of a stewardship role towards, you know, promoting healthy wildlife populations and healthy environments.
Hear. Are you coping well with this whole situation?
I've been doing pretty good. I've mentioned here, like I have a rural property and there's a ton of work to do outside in terms of managing my woods and dealing with the lawn and garden. So I stare at my computer as long as I can, and then when I start to go stir crazy, I go outside and work for a while, and then I come back in, and it's so far so good.
All right, my friend, a pleasure talking to you again, and we will stay in touch and see what happens when we get out of this mess.
Yeah, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Dr. Brent Patterson, research scientist with Wildlife Research and Monitoring Section of the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. Saying no, it's not real, it's our imagination. In fact, that we're seeing all this wildlife is because we're spending more time looking instead of running. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.